Blog Talk Radio.
Is you faded? So faded. Is you faded? So faded. Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who?
Who got me faded? Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who?
And the beat drop like.
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who? Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded?
Who got me faded? This paradise somehow related. Reality so complicated. All of this life we don't waste it. All of my people the greatest. Just tryna get elevated. Switch up these situations. Know why them people be hating, debating, and faking all up in your face. Bitches need to be erased. Light it up, give you a taste. Gotta do this for my race. Give it and they will embrace. Use it to heal from the hate. Not that much more we can take. Taking these breaths away. Telling my people to fight back. Gotta think smarter like Chirac. Lighting it up, we make contact. All of these leaders, I like that. Then I switch it up, fast forward. See them flying up, are you ready, let's go. Better think twice before you go down that road. Can't you see the mind control? Who got me faded?
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 Who
got me
faded?
Yeah,
who got me fighting?
Who got me fighting?
Who got me fighting?
Who got me fighting?
Who? Waking up dizzy. Never felt like this at the Regency. Skies are shifting. Open my eyes and sip on this Remy. Oh, so fighting. Sick of these niggas always abiding. Secretly hiding. No relation, infiltrating. What do we do with our people? Don't wanna wake up and like being sheeple. Picking that cotton and building the steeples. Raising the system where black is illegal. IBG, these be the niggas that's making you think. Time to get free. Rocking them colors that red, black, and green. When you and me get the coins, we're artillery. Packing up the extra heat. Warriors, you're feeling me. Time to get down. Gorilla welfare, don't make a sound. Sirens and cops is all around. Setting you up to go underground. So you can be fooled, don't be fooled. Them Hannibal Lecters after you. Time to shoot. Now what you gon' do? Look at your youth and get us some truth. Cut that shit back, then get on the move. Taking the heat for these crystal seeds. If you awake, then you know what I mean. Who got me faded?
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 Sleep and I'm
faded.
Eat and I'm
faded.
Drink and I'm faded. Wake up and I'm
faded.
Sleep and I'm faded. Eat and I'm
faded.
Drink and I'm faded. Wake up and I'm faded, yo. So faded, yo. Thinking about a baby, yo. Cause I'm such a lady, it's so hard for me to let it go. Can't let it go, but I'm about to let you know. Keep fucking water, baby. I'ma have to let the power show. Fighting. Oh, got me fighting. Oh.
Oh, got me
fighting. Oh, got me fighting.
Yeah. I give you these jewels that you rarely find. And these Nigel shoes fit me very fine. Catch me on these avenues, I'm trying to reach they mind. Man, you know that black power music, it gets no play and they ride until they put that brick in and now they feeling my vibe. I start to slowly see they fists on the rise, see it's intense from their eyes. It's kinda hard to come to grips, make the decision inside. I ain't gon' lie, it took some time to make some sense in my mind. Now all I feel is a sense of this pride, incorporated in these lyrics and this vision of mine. To make a change for my people, wish this wish to taste it sweeter. The pain runs deeper, you can feel it through the speakers, huh? 400 years of pain, turn the page. Every story looks the same. They snapping pictures as he hangs. Emmett Till was killed for whistling and being brave. And y'all still running sleep with the beast from the cave. My knocker say you should be ashamed. The black woman, the goddess, say she come in many shades with the power to create greatness. Her DNA melanated on display, absorbing these sun rays. Rah. I make a wonder as I'm building this collage. I feel the power of the people fully amplified live. My mission is to make a difference. Recognize I'm watching for the agents in disguise. I describe my struggle, my hustle kept it pushing like Lamar's, giving birth to a nation on the rise. As I scribe the soundtrack to the revolution, televised, telling lies, trying to stop the movement. So you gotta keep a semi like you came as Zamunda. And yes, I'm in my prime like the minister Lamumba. But it's the program for your system. I ain't talking about computers, speaking proper installation for our future. And don't you confuse it. Some people outdated, so they might refuse it. Eternal glitches, so it's time to reboot them. Aim high, stay low, send a shot from the Ruger. Focus on our survival, formulate a conclusion. This is real, swear this ain't no illusion. Try to elude it, but you can't. Martial law, got the coppers in the tank. Renegade, got this bug out bag right by the door. Just in case it's time to break, make a movie, play the game, this high stakes. All across the country, I be on these highways, flying through these clouds to reach my people's mind state. Wide awake, I ain't sleeping with the sheeple. Right fist high, all power to the people. Black power got me charged up. Somebody check the meter. Now I need my lock came freely. As I praise my inner being, child of the universe, I'm just sightseeing. As I take you on this tour to give you more. And I ain't talking nationality. Them pigs is at your door. Can give a fuck about black laws, act corn gang family. These is definitions, just really your formality. I put power in the words that I speak in. Black absorbs all colors. This is me, I am the walking constellation. Birthed by the galaxy, observation through telescopes. They couldn't capture what I see. I thought something in these books would make me feel more complete. Still searching, but I know I'm royalty. I'm a king, they tried to hide it, but I seek till I'm fatigued. No Marines are on me. To the teeth and kept it flowing like the Navy. Air forced them to retreat. Reenacting D-Day and drop bombs on the beat. Laying mines on the track, beware where you place your feet. Yeah, I'm 10 toes down till they lay me 6 deep. Return as the ghost of brick, even my spirit won't sleep. Non-stop, relentless, no time clocking. Invented, can mark the date of this classic composition. I'm penning between these bars, give you a wealth of wisdom. If you can read between the lines, notice I'm painting the picture from the book of bricks, so this ain't no scripture. Amen, the flow sacred, religious in fact, the people quoting my statements. What will brick do across their bracelets? Show how strong their faith is for me to change it. And with that said, I made arrangements for this faceless, infinite information on pages that I created. My notebook so swole that it won't close. I'm going hard, introduction to the outro. You ain't repping for your people, keep your mouth closed. Like the Bible Belt, they love me in a sophomore. I think my mind first changed as a sophomore. Looking through history books, really without no. Blacks saw the same names, repeatedly learned about those. Now Trump building a wall for the Vatos. Muslims can't fly back either, had to reroute those. Strips and gun stores sold out, know what to watch for. And watch what you say, freedom of speech soon will be outlawed.
Peace, 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 and Black Power family. Welcome to another episode of New Knowledge Radio, a place where knowledge is born. This is your host, Knowledge Born Allah. And we are here on our Self Empowerment Tuesday, aka Talk Black to Me Tuesday. This Talk Black to Me Tuesday series is dedicated to providing an open line of communication for people to sound off with their perspectives on things that are most important to them. So we have a special guest in the building. Brother Marco Patterson is in the building. So this is the Marco Patterson show for today. So any questions, any comments, anything you want to know, that phone number to call in, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions or your comments, because my honor and privilege at this time to introduce some and present to others the dynamic, sensational, and creative mind of our brother who comes to us in the divine righteous name of Marco Patterson, aka Black Rich, in the building.
Doing.
Peace, my brother. What's going on with you?
Man, dealing with this police situation here in Missouri, got inboxed like 2 days ago. Police officer named Daniel Adam, but later found out his surname. Called, you know, just simple things, you know, not unusual for a racist, you know, and told me to shut up, nigger, then told me, you know, all caps, nigger. And I laughed it off a little bit. I was like, okay, let me look this dude up. And so opened up the profile. What they answer the message, because I have no issue going back and forth with these folks. Went to open the message up, couldn't open it. So I'm like, okay, well, obviously it ain't in my personal profile. Let me go to my work profile, you know, that profile you have for your coworkers and shit, that snitch. So I go to their profile, look him up, found out he has police officer as a title, a couple of pictures, one picture of him in this uniform. And so I'm sitting here like, huh, and he's out there in Chesterfield. And so I'm like, okay, he's out there in St. Louis area. I said, okay, this dude, I'm fucked up. So we went to do some digging. So I'm, you know, I hit a couple of friends of mine. I got folks that are in connection with Bruce Franks out here, you know, in Missouri also. He's one of the guys who were one of the main protesters for Ferguson. So I got in contact with one of his folks, got in contact with another state rep, assistant who works for the state rep that I know. And, you know, I just started, I even hit up some of the black police officers I know. I said, hey, you know, y'all know this guy. He's out here in y'all area, so on and so forth. So I'm going to talk about how they started setting up, like, not the black police officers specifically, but just, like, the system, how it set up a wall for them. So, you know, we talk about that thin blue line. I'm going to talk about that thick blue wall real quick. So four precincts denied him ever working for them. Four. Right. And so, like, you know us, we're intellects, we're going to dig, we're going to find out. You're a public servant, it's going to be information about you out there. You know, so I'm looking for Daniel Adam, right? Several folks, St. Louis News, it's a local news blog, they put him on blast. They put this post up and it spread like wildfire, right? He went silent on this post. He didn't post nothing all night. We, you know, folks is watching, folks is waiting. And so I'm sitting there like, okay, let's find out some more information. I need to find out what exact percent this works at. So back to that blue wall. So I found out if you don't use an officer's surname or badge number, they will deny he works there. And give more detail to that. On Facebook, if you check out some of those Leos or if you check out some of those law enforcement officials, they'll use their first and middle name. And that's what I've been noticing. I went through, I even compiled a little list, and I was like, let me go through all my partners. And one of my officer friends broke it down. He's like, Marco, that's the game. See, when you call up there to the station and you make a complaint on this officer, you don't have his badge number and you don't have his full surname. So what they do is they deny that person works there. Because technically, that person, the name you're given, doesn't work there. And so I was like, okay. So I ended up finding out more information, started digging some more. Found out four women who he's sexually, you know, basically sexually harassed. So one of them had like private pictures of him and stuff in his uniform. Had another one who had like information on him because she filed a complaint on him before. So she gets me his full name. She even has his phone number. Mm. So I get the phone number. I get his full name. She gave me his church, the pastor, because she attended the same church. And so I get all that. And she gave me his official police station, which was the North County Police Cooperative in St. Louis, right? Or something to the effect there. You know, I usually have everything written down. But that was out of St. Louis. And she even shot me a picture of him there and she got the previous roles that he had there. That, you know, if you look up his name, you can find it online, right? Daniel A. Adam Merkles in St. Louis. So how they worked around that, right? Was because North County was once Normandy Police Department. Hence, that's why they created a cooperative. So it's like other agencies attached to that. So technically, there's no police department. You see what I'm saying? It's a cooperative. So we found out she's filed on him before 2 years ago. And so they were denying to me that, hey, he's never worked there. That person has never worked there, right? So she hits them up, and she sends me the screenshots, and, you know, they're careful on how they're answering her because she was like, how are you guys denying that he's there when I fouled on him there before, because her brother-in-law is a police officer who knew the guy worked there. So it turned out he's no longer there, right? Even though they denied that he worked there, he's no longer there. So we found that out. We hit up two other police stations. So this guy left a trail, basically. So two other police stations that he left, another police station that they replaced them. So we ended up at Springview Police Station. I talked to the captain, and she had a chance, and the young lady who was helping me out, she spoke with the captain also, and he was like, he's been getting calls all day about this guy. You know, like, you know how a lot of us black folks do. You know, once we activate everybody on it. So I didn't even know that police station got hit up. And, like, when we contacted him within 30 minutes, we found out about it. You know, he had let us know, like, hey, he's been getting calls all morning, already, about this guy. So apparently, you know, your local white population got offended also as well. So come to find out, they replaced this guy. And the captain would not tell us why. So what I was doing is I was going to file for release of information. It's a Freedom of Information Act. You can do this on any police officer, right, regardless. They can't deny you. In fact, you can sue them if they do. It's a federal law. So I filed a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. And if any of you guys ever have to do this, you know, just say that you can't pay the money right now. If they're asking for money, let them know that it's just for information. It's not for journalism, because they charge journalists. Say it's not for journalism, you know, it's just for general interest and for information, right? So we filed that. Citizens for Justice is a group that also filed for me on behalf, because they're trying to find out also as well. That's another Facebook group. And we're waiting to hear back from them, you know, if they're going to release the information, which they kind of have to, so we can see about collecting data on his records. So in doing so, what I'm finding out is like, okay, there's a reason why this guy is moving around from station to station. So, you know, think about it. He went from the blackest police department to the whitest white bread police department there is near St. Louis. And the first thing I said, something else is going on. This guy probably has more complaints, right? So that's where we're at right now. You know, like I said, we kicked everything off yesterday, kicking it off. Now, I know his parents. I know his wife. So, you know, I had another person end up pulling all their information and everything, but I got to be careful how I go about that, so that way it's not harassment and things like that. But, you know, of course, I'm not going to hit them up like that, but it's kind of, you know, this information is public information, right? So that's kind of what we're doing. And what I'm going to end up doing after this is, you know, I sat there and I talked to one of my brothers about it. I was like, hey, we're going to have to really look at either forming some sort of coalition to really hop down on these guys ahead of time so we collect all their information, because they are public servants, keyword servants. They're no longer a private citizen. And so when you have even the smallest suspicion of these guys doing stuff to our population, more specifically, I'm talking about setting up something, a coalition for our black folks, but, you know, we need to be able to, you know, formulate a plan and approach ASAP, you know, especially when we're just now getting like two black prosecutors out here, and she's one of the main ones, unprecedented move that she just did, where she ended up blacklisting police officers, basically taking their ability to police away. You know, most times they just put them on desk duty or something, and right now she's taking folks' whole post certifications away. And, you know, so, hey, you know, you're not an officer anymore, and you can't be an officer. And so I reached out to her as well, one of St. Louis, and just trying to see what we can get rolling. The thing is, because they had an officer get killed, I think it's one of those things where they're really up and cautious on how they approach information or approach some of these types of situations, which, you know, that, you know, okay, that's understandable. But, you know, when you have an officer on that level who's, you know, misconduct and, you know, using the social media as a platform for, you know, assaulting other folks, that's what I'm going to call it, you know, that's uncalled for. So that's where we are right now. So we're still hunting this guy down. So and by the end of the day, I just got a message from, you know, and KH, let me know that we're going to end up having his exact police. And that's funny, because she's an officer. But we end up having his exact location soon. And because up here in Missouri, we don't keep a database, which is something that might need to change, right? So this goes. This gives me the I think the biggest question I have right now, through working through all of this, is, you know, there's a militant side to me, and we have to keep that side. You know, in this day and age, you have to keep that side tamed, right? You got to be careful on how you mobilize militancy, especially, you know, on social media and, you know, getting flagged.
Right.
You know, even me, even me at one point, like I'm a heavy, you know, you've seen my profile, I'm a big gun lover. Like, you know, I don't shot everything from HKG3s. I own one. you know, I got a new one coming in. I'm doing stop mod, two modification to my AR and everything. So it's like, you know, I've served 8 years in the armed services. So you got folks like myself who, you know, we're all about defense. And it's just that, you know, at what point, you know, when you have someone like this who has access to your information, right, and have access to your location, because we are a public, we're private citizens, but, you know, you have a public servant who has access to all information in the state, be a driver's license, first and last name, stuff like that. At what point is it defense on our end to be able to defend ourselves? And that's a conversation I had with several colleagues. You know, first thing that happened is one of my it was one of the nursing supervisors came to me. Like, I'm a counselor at a hospital, so that's what I pretty much do. So one nursing supervisor heard about it. She came to me. She was like, "Marco, you got to be careful. You know, you got to be careful. This, you know, this is this day and age. You know, things like that, things might happen, and, you know, you're putting yourself out there, and other people might retaliate." And I was sitting there like, okay, so, and I remember I asked her this, and I was sitting there saying, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, I just specifically asked, "What does that mean? You know, does that mean I am in danger, is what you're saying? Does it mean I need to worry about my interactions with folks? I mean, because let's be real. I'm in no more danger than the average black man on a daily basis." Like, just being real with you. Like, you know, any moment, this officer, the same one I'm talking about, could have a body in front of him. You know what I'm saying? And just from the same thought process. And that's the first thing I said to the internal affairs. I didn't hold back or nothing. I was like, "Hey, you know, with him working inside these areas that are diverse, and he has this thought process, that's how he thinks about everyone that looks like me. And that's a danger. Right. That's another Trayvon Martin. That's another one. You know, you guys better be able to do something about it." And I put that in there because in the case that that happens, and I've already consulted with a lawyer, in the case that that happens, I will be filing a civil suit. You know, like, you know, "Hey, I warned you about this guy. You know, I said this about this guy. So, you know, we're going to have to hit you in your pockets and just keep hitting you in your pockets. And everyone else that's involved, keep hitting you in your pockets because they're warning you about this guy. Or are you going to do something about it?" And that's where we're right now. Now, as far as, you know, what do we as a people do, or what do we as a unit do, you know, when it comes to these types of situations, there's no clear-cut answer without sounding like my uncle would put it, without sounding like a lunatic. And so his wisdom is, if sometimes the answers that you might have to put an end to certain situations like this might not, it'll feel good to say. So if it feels good to say, don't say it. You know, otherwise I'm like a lunatic. And I was like, you know what, I'll keep some of those answers to myself. But what are the solutions? You know, solutions and answers, I look at like two different things. A solution, you can always keep working. An answer is an absolute, right? So I was like, what are the solutions can we employ for situations like this where, you know, you have social media attacks by public servants, and they know they can get away with it, or they feel like they can get away with it, and they're protected by this veil of administration or the systemic racism is what it is, that keeps those types of guys from getting touched the right way they need to, right? So what do we do? That's the most difficult answer, because if we had the answer for that, if I had the answer for it, we wouldn't be dealing with white supremacy in the most systemic manner that it is right now in today's world. So how do we function, right? We've been functioning.
Right.
going along, right? You know, every day you walk out of your studio, you got to worry about if you're going to have your last encounter. You know, I'm right here, you know, when I go and get something for my sons or I go to work or something, I got to worry about if my gun, you know, and even if I have my gun, whether or not if my gun is going to be the excuse for my death, you know. I've had 9 encounters with the police in under a month, and I can guarantee you 7 of those encounters could have turned deadly, easy. I was down in Memphis, back home, sleeping in my car, because I was sleeping in the car in front of my kinfolk house, and so I was like, okay, I put my Glock in my lap. I got a Glock 17, I'll just keep it on my lap. Got a nice little compensator on it, so I can steady my shots, right? So, you know, throw it in my lap, go to sleep, roll my windows up. I got tents. I'm rolling my windows up. Cool. Police pull up, and they're outside talking. They're looking for a dude who shot 5 folks. And I'm laying there in my car like, oh, okay, I'll get that motherfucker. You know, he's shooting up black folks. Okay, I hope they get his ass. Police officer goes, we should check in these cars, right? I'm not even joking. It was a Facebook post I made. I'll tell you too. He said, I'll check in these cars. We're going to check in these cars. That son of a bitch is probably here. I'm going to get that son of a bitch. What do you think I did? Man, I let my seat back as far as I could. At this point, this is like, it's you know, in my head, I'm thinking, damn, I'm like, okay, I got my gun. They do some shit, I should shoot. And I'm like, no, that's stupid. Why don't the fuck you shoot it out with the cops right there? Because then, you know, at that point, it's a whole different situation. So I'm like, okay, I know I haven't done anything wrong, but that doesn't matter. You know, black or white cops, I'm going to say this. Like, you know, people try to blur the lines a lot. I know I did it a little bit earlier, but black or white cops, policing is, in its rawest form, is an extension of the white supremacy, the systemic issues that we have. That's all it is, because they operate off of policies that are backed up by white supremacy, right? So I'm right here like, damn, they looking for a nigga. I'm laying here. Yeah. I'm a nigga. I'm in the car. Oh, shit. I have a gun.
Any nigga a goof. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I was just grinning. I'm like, any nigga a goof. You know, we could run down a whole list of people, you know, that this happened. I mean, today is Tamir Rice's birthday. You understand what I'm saying? Like, any nigga a goof. Like, so it just it didn't matter.
Yeah. And here I am, I'm following advice that, you know, I followed before. I have to bolt out the firearm because it no longer, quote unquote, no longer constitutes a firearm to bolt out, right? So I take the bolt out, throw it on the floor. I take the gun apart real quick. You know, it's a Glock, it's real easy to break down. I hear it pop all the mags out. I mean, pop all the rounds out the mag, and I throw it in the back seat. And I'm like, okay, at least if I'm caught, if they come up on me and they think that I'm that guy, you know, I'm not armed right now. But, you know, the news is going to report it. It was a gun and a gun. Either way it goes, that's how they're going to report it. So they cruise on by. And I'm talking about watching that light go over my car while I'm sitting there in the car, my head down and everything. I'm bald at the time. And I'm like, man, this shiny-ass, big-ass head of mine should give me dead away. So, and they pass over me. And I'm talking about I hadn't felt that much stress since, you know, being in a situation in the military or we're walking by, we know something is an explosive device, but, you know, we're passing by and it's already too late. So we don't know when this fucking thing is going to go off, right? So that's how it took me back to that. And I was like, God damn. I was like, I shouldn't be having this sex. I'm like, I'm shaking a little bit here. Like, this ain't cool. Like, I'm a grown-ass man. Like, why am I this worried? You know, we got 5 squad cars looking for one nigga, and I'm one nigga in the car. In the Hampton area with a gun. And guess what? I don't clean my gun that often. And so I'm sitting here thinking, shit, if they pick up that fly, if they did, quote unquote, detain me peacefully, right, I still have to prove that I am not the shooter because I have a firearm. Like, you know, that's what we go through every day. That's the anxiety every black man eventually feels. And, you know, when we start talking about, you know, that and we bring it back to, like, a social media encounter, you know, one must wonder, like, damn, what's coming next? What am I going to deal with next? Like, okay, I'm holding this person accountable. If my name was Fred Sanders, and I was a white guy, would the response and the answers I'm getting be different, right? You know, would I get more cooperation? Because I was sitting there, like, asking one of my brothers, I was like, how come they just tell me where to work? He's like, oh, no, they're snitching, bro. He's like, you see, he was telling me, he's like, they got a street code like we got a street code. And he was like, this is something you got to understand. He was like, they have a street code they got to stick to like we have a street code. Of course, they're going to make it seem like they're above and beyond, but it's like, it's not like the same thing that we do. And I was like, okay, I got you.
It's deadly for them to, you know, to violate that street code. It's punishable by death.
Oh, yeah. You know? Hell yeah. And he had to call me. He didn't even Facebook me because he's an officer. He had to call me. He's like, hey, this is what you need to know. Like, you got to ask for, you got to report about his sure name or his badge number. If you ain't got that, you don't have nothing. You don't have a complaint. They're going to write it off. They can legally, in front of a judge or a magistrate, they can say, well, this is the name he reported, right? This isn't who we have here. Like, they can do that. And he made sure he made that clear. So I was like, okay, Roger, I got you. But, you know, that's a problem, man. We pay for this. You know, we pay taxes for individuals to put on a uniform to walk around our communities. Like, think about how bizarre that is. You pay for executioners to patrol the communities where people are getting executed. Now, there's a double-edged sword to that, most people would say, right? Like, well, what about, you know, niggers killing niggers? I was like, well, I said, it's still systemic, too. Like, it's still, that's a whole nother. And in fact, I think when they say black on black crime, first off, that's a matter of proximity. People who are around each other are going to commit crimes. Mexicans commit crimes around Mexicans. Asians commit crimes around Asians. It's just what it is. So, you know, interracial crime is always high. But the first thing I say is those in poverty, or those who are mechanized off into poverty, like, you know, most of our areas that we know or some of the areas we grew up in, you know, if you were to put jobs there, and I've seen this myself in Memphis, if you were to put jobs there, crime drops. We know this. So this is a financial issue. So I'm not looking at it like it's a social issue with me wanting to kill my brother. I was like, you know, if my brother was working and I was working and we was both functioning like regular human beings are supposed to function, or like what we feel stable Americans are supposed to function as, then it's a different conversation. I've watched violence like almost dissipate in my old neighborhood when they put the Nike factory out there in Memphis, in the Fraser area, and they were paying like about, I think when they started, it was like $12-$13 an hour. And that's back when the minimum wage was like six, almost seven, right? And when they put them out there, you know, I've seen brothers who were straight grim reapers working, back working, doing anything. Police couldn't do nothing to them because they working, they doing something. You know, he ain't got to hustle. He ain't got to do nothing outrageous to survive, you know? And that's one of those things I've seen. But then I also seen how the policing still continued. No matter what, like, you got a brother who's doing right, got his job together. It don't matter if you got a degree or if you're a laborer. That's how it's structured against you. You know, I used to think different. You know, I was joined the Army at 18. I enlisted at 17, but was finally off doing my thing at 18. And so, like, when you're around those types of folks, you can become really conservative when you used to kicking in those and cracking skulls, right? And I used to be like, if people wanted to survive, this is what they need to do. They're just being lazy. I used to repeat some of those talking lines.
Sitting around with folks already pushing those thoughts through.
That's pretty much it. That's the culture. I had to get on my damn brother-in-law for those lines. Like last year, like, hey, bro, like, you know, hey, I know you feel this about, like, you know, some of your own, but let me tell you something. Some of your own could have been you too. Like, let's be real. Like we come from the same cloth. Just because we end up finding a little thread out, don't mean that, you know, we can't easily be pulled back down. And I said, I had my wake up call when I seen. I was inside. We did a color guard detail. You know, when we go and present the flag and stuff like that at this picnic. It was out in Mississippi. The year was 2005. And I get back in the car and I got all white soldiers with me. And I'm on the passenger side. We're driving up. Then a local officer stops us. I remember it started to drizzle. I'm in my dress greens at the time, so I get pulled out the car. Not pulled. He asked me to come out the car. Let me change it. He asked me to get out the car, right? So I'm out the car. Puts me only in handcuffs, right? He's searching through my stuff, trying to make sure that, you know, I'm not doing nothing illegal. All the other soldiers are in the car. Everybody's dressed the same way. Kid you not. One of my staff sergeants looked. One of my staff sergeants looking like, what's going on? What the fuck is going on? I'm getting wet. He's in the car the whole time. They're in the car. He gets out, hands me my stuff. Doesn't say anything. Gets in the car, drives off. I get in the car. I'm drenched. And I'm sitting here like, damn. I was like, man, I ain't felt that way in a long time, right? I was like every bit of like 19 then. I was like, I ain't felt that way in a long time. At that point, it was like 2 years. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I had to have an inner conversation with myself. Everybody else in the car was quiet. They didn't even know how to explain what they saw. You know, these are all white guys, and they're like, right. Quiet. And nobody wants to say what it was because they didn't understand what it is. And I had to explain to them. Because you had folks, we had two cats from New York. Partner James Newell, he was from New York. And so he was like, man, what the fuck just happened? And he was like, did it? You know, he was the first one to speak. He was like, is that what I thought it was? I was like, yeah, bro. I said, yep, black guy in the car, man. Riding while black. It's a, you know, it's uniform don't fucking matter. That's it. None of that shit matters. So, excuse the profanity, man. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, you're good. This is your show. Express yourself how you see fit. We good. We are good to go.
Oh, yeah, okay. Most definitely. You know, I got to make sure I ain't cussing and stuff.
If Preston shut this place down, I wouldn't be here with 900 episodes. I think I'd have had one.
All right, most definitely. Yeah, so, and hopefully I'm not just rambling on about all this stuff. This is general stuff I'm pretty sure all your viewers know. But, you know, this is just one of those things where, you know, we start thinking about what could be done and without trying to, you know, go over into the wrong direction with a lot of this stuff. But you start walking through the history of it. You know, you walk right through the current state. You walk through your own experiences. And, you know, the first thing you got to ask is, like, you know, why? And we know why. We know what it is. You know, it's been a long development into what this is, and so now a lot of us are breaking out of that conditioning, and so that's what's leading guys like me. I've been trying to develop a small militia or quote-unquote shooters club, like that's what I've been calling it, sportsman club or something. So we've been doing that, me and my brothers. I've been getting folks. I've been trying. I'm going to get my range master's certification again. So that's one of those big things with me right now because I'm trying to teach people how to shoot. And so I say, okay, well, what I'm going to do, everybody, you know, I've been around several brothers who always talk about, like, you know, defense. And, like, me being a military man, I'm like, hey, when I hear defense, I'm thinking defense. I'm not just saying it because it sounds cool on social media.
Right.
You know,
right.
When I hear it, I'm thinking, hey, let me show you how to throw a grenade. We can, you know, we can get flashbangs. You know, we can get smoke. I said, let me show you how to throw smoke, and let me tell you what smoke grenade is used for, and let me tell you how you can use it. You know, here, when they use a tear gas, let me show you what you can do with it with mud, or if you turn it upside down, this is what you do. You just turn it upside down. And, you know, just telling folks stuff like that, and I was like, you know what, okay, well, you know, that's the stuff that I hear when I hear defense. And, you know, because it's going to get to a point, and I hate to say this because I sound like what my uncle said, right? I sound like a lunatic sometimes when I say this, or I sound like those traditional militia dudes. Like, we need to prepare for the worst, right? And that's a true statement, too. But, you know, it's going to get to a point to where it's going to boil over and the wrong grouping of black people will be pushed and taunted. And I always say this, too. I say, you know, you can walk in the woods and – you know, you can only run so far sometimes in thick brush before you come across a sticky bush or you come across something that's poisonous. And I say, hey, that's just the woods trying to natural way of trying to protect itself. And I say, it's only so long before, you know, nature pushes back. It's only so long before the people push back. And that sounds radical. That sounds, to some folks, they might say that sounds extremist. But to me, that sounds like self-defense. You know, if you're stepping on my neck and I decide to fight you back, you know, I have every right to preserve my life. And so when you talk about us as a people and you step on our necks and you're snuffing some of us out and some of us can't breathe, some of us are, quote unquote, having suicide. Some of us are not getting the benefit of the doubt and dying in under 2 seconds. You know, there's only a matter of time before you know, the wrong demographic of black people are messed with, and it backfires. I'm not going to say gracefully, because karma is graceful, right? But it backfires in the most horrific way that people didn't think it would. You know, one of the things I bring up, I was like, no one ever asked what happened with Christopher Donner. And I said, we always brush that off to the side. And, you know, we're careful to talk about it. So, you know, we get the quote unquote militant dudes who aren't militant, don't even know how to work a fucking rifle in their life. But we get a lot of those guys. And I say, hey, you know who's really militant? I said, you know, but nobody wants to say it. You know, we had Malcolm Xavier. We had Christopher Donner. I said, why do you think they snuffed those out? I said, they snuffed them out because it gave too many ideas. It gave too many ideas of a person who's going to fight back. And there's one person that's going to make a whole police force over every agency in the state hunts him down. That's scary. That's scary to them, not scary to us. We see niggas shooting all the time. Like, you know, no big deal. Like, okay, niggas shoot, doing great. Like, okay, you know, you got to be careful. We used to that. Like, and I tell folks, when people use the term, I be saying, man, y'all have no fucking idea, bro. Like, y'all just ain't messing with the right dude. Y'all messing with people who are unarmed or legally armed. You know, you're not messing with a mother who will blow your fucking brains out and walk out of the store calmly. Like, you know, that's a different breed right there. And so that's why, you know, I always say, hey, you know, as some of us get enlightened, a lot of us have to get trained. You know, a lot of us can wake up. You know, you can wake up and you can know that a universe exists. But some of us are going to have to start studying the science behind building the ship to get us to that universe, you know. And so, you know, I believe there is a big separation in our community of, you know, I always say, you know, it's the woke folks against the operatives, against the really, really sweet folks. So you're going to have the operatives and you're going to have the woke folks. And I look at it like the operatives, then you got the philosophers, basically, the woke folks. And sometimes you're going to have a mix. You're going to have a mix of that. And so the issue is that we've all created subdivisions of our own culture, of our own black culture here in America, of those cultures. And, you know, we it's going to have to get to a point where we need to reunite them. Because I have a brother who he's a good brother. But, you know, me and him, we don't agree on everything. We don't. And I told him, I said, hey, bro, you stay my brother. Like, regardless, whether or not I agree with you. And, you know, one of our fundamental disagreements is, like, he says, Egypt is where all of mankind started. And I say, well, no, I believe the stars are. I say, I believe, you know, black people came from the stars and we founded Earth. See, that's my belief. And he has a totally different belief. And he looks at me like I'm crazy. And I say, hey, you can't prove me wrong. I say, you know, it sounds crazy, don't it? Yeah, it does. Until you find out, like, Africa had nuclear reactors that predated Egypt. So it's kind of like, hey, you know, or Kemet, you know, stuff like that. We have a whole conversation about that. But so that's the thing. You know, we create these divides within ourselves. So now when we hear about somebody, the only time we unite is when somebody gets killed, you know, and we know it's against the same system we're trying to fight. I think that's where the frustration is for guys like, and maybe guys like yourself also as well. It's like, you know, we want this united front, but, you know, what does this united front really look like against white supremacy or against, you know, policing or against, what is the reactionary force? What is that for black people? You know, is it, people say, you know, the rioting and stuff like that. I don't really call it rioting. I just say civil unrest really is what it is because you're going against a system. But, you know, what is the reactionary force? What is the quick reaction force for that? You know, some people say Black Lives Matter. Some people say the NAACP. Some people say just the people, you know. And I think in trying to develop this coalition or develop this front, we're just trying to define that. Without us being, you know, we're going to probably get red flagged anyway because we niggas with guns. But, you know, without us being, like, outlined or with a definitive structure of, like, extremism. And, you know, that's one of my biggest things. So, yeah, man. So it's just been a lot. It's just been a lot. I know I've been running on here. But it's just, these are all the things that, you know, when it comes to that, just a simple message, this is like the flowering and the roots and the stem of all of that. Like, that message could have been ignored. But, you know, when you look at it like, damn, this motherfucker was bold. Like, if this was and I keep the same energy, like, you know, like how I used to when I was younger. If I had Facebook when I was 16 and a nigga messaged me on that, I'd be right up at his house looking for him, right? we got to keep that same energy. I tell folks that. I say, hey, I found out where he lived. Like, you know, I'm not going to just pull up right now. I've changed a lot since then. But, you know, we know enough. And, you know, to know enough is very, you know, it can be, it's to them, just you just to know it's threatening, right? That's how it is. For you to know it's threatening. Like, let's take it like this. Like, if every police officer that had did something to a black person, why is the first thing they do is black out the family members? When Darrell Wilson, right, with him, they blacked out all of his relatives. I remember because when we found one person, everybody's trying to confront this guy, right? Gone. Didn't know where any of his relatives were. They got together so swift in under like several hours, right? They got rid of as much information about this guy as possible. In fact, people thought it was a totally different officer. And the police, it was like this guy was willing to be risked and put out there for just to protect Darren. And so everybody thought it was one, this specific guy. Right, and it wasn't for a whole 2 days. Everybody thought that it was one specific officer, and it wasn't. They had his picture up, his social media profile. They didn't do nothing, take it down or nothing. And he was actually a police officer. And I was like, damn, he was willing to take one for his own just to protect the killer. Crazy. And I was like, that's crazy. I said, that is an organism now. That's no longer like that. That is a complete organism. I said, it's willing to sacrifice something of itself to protect the whole body. I said, that's fucking crazy. So, yeah. You say you had people who might have had questions?
We got a caller calling in from area code 314, area code 314. You are live. Talk Black to Me Tuesday. What, Brother Marco?
How you guys doing?
Doing fine.
You know, I know Ferguson very well for decades. Darren Wilson ain't the big problem in Ferguson. You know, Wilson came from Jennings where he was fired. Jennings dissolved his police department because of problems. Several other communities got together and dissolved there and came back with another. But a lot of your problems look like you in that area, St. Louis and many other areas. But I heard you was talking about teaching people how to shoot. I think that's a good thing. And I don't know if you've ever heard about the National African American Gun Club.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a good organization. And there's actually about, I think, 40 or 42 black gun clubs across the country. And several of them are female, like the Foxy Mamas and one or two others. But no, that is a good thing, I think. And there should be more of that, you know, gun shooting. Whenever I go to the range, I see more women there than I have seen men.
Right.
And
right.
Black
so
women
I guess
are starting
the culture
to shoot
right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a brother in Illinois by the name of Jonas Hagos who owns a gun manufacturer called Civilian Arms. He makes a very, very sweet AR-15. He received a Purple Heart in either Iraq or one of the Gulf Wars. And apparently, like most soldiers do, they become attached to their weapon.
Right.
And when he came back, he turned that into a enterprise, made some improvements on it. And since, you know, he manufactures, have produced at least several of them. And reviews on it, Wild Bill Hickok, he reviews a lot of guns. And he gave it some outstanding marks when he had it to review. Jonas sent it to him all broken down as a shoebox full of parts. he put it together.
So my Hickok 45, right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, but no,
that's a good thing you should do. You should teach children how to shoot. It should be competition, just like bowling or softball or kickball. and you know, go from there. I think that everybody should be able to shoot a weapon.
My ultimate goal right now, you know, outside of like, hey, you know, just we're calling it a shooting club or whatever, is really a militia. And that's just the basis of really what I'm trying to develop. And, you know, because I've been a part of a white militia before. I went to several meetings. I even went to an Oath Keeper meeting at one point. And I'm sitting there looking at these guys. I'm sitting there like, huh. I said, it's funny because it's cool, it's calm, this is their culture, it's natural for them, right? I said, what happens if I take these brothers and we're doing TAC training? What happens if I take 40 brothers, 60 brothers, 60 brothers and sisters, and we go out there and do platoon and squad movements, and we're doing shoot, move, and communicate all day, right? And we're doing advanced rifle training, right? And what happens? What is that viewed as? And I'm not talking about usually when I bring this up, everybody immediately go to usually the Black Panthers and stuff. I say, no. I said, what I'm talking about is building a militia. I'm not talking about.
I agree with you. That's perfectly fine. You know, we got brothers here in St. Louis, and I'm not in St. Louis, but you got brothers in St. Louis in open carry AR-15. They've done so at political rallies, at Trump rallies, talking to the police and everything else. I think that's a right that, well, you know how what it is. And I think that African Americans, blacks, should get more involved in those things from a legal perspective. It's needed. Now, of course, you're going to have your pushback from everybody. And I know what you're saying. And I think I'm a little bit old, and you probably don't see a lot of things. Maybe I'm not experiencing the same thing. But, you know, when it comes down, you're going to have people that looks like whites and everybody else that's going to be for the right thing. Because human beings are human beings, and we have to come to that realization at some point in order to look at things as it really is. You know, you said that you think that the earth was founded from people from the stars, and the other guy said from ancient Eden, and other people may say from the Tigris, Euphrates. But human beings do bad things, and human beings do good things. And I mean, that's what the first thing that you should expect out of a human being is for them to be human beings. I would also tell you, get your federal firearms license if you don't already have one. And that's a good thing, too, because out of your club, you can be able to supply. You know, people might want to buy something, and it usually have to come through a federal firearm license holder when you order from a manufacturer, from a gun dealer.
Right, right. We got, like, two brothers that are already equipped right now. We're slowly trying to get things. Yeah, we're trying to get things off the ground the legal way. You know, several of them are, you know, we got ex-military, police officers, stuff like that. Some retired, some old dogs in there, some old Marines. And just getting things off the ground slowly, but it's just finding, I think with the us, what we're going to find is like a pushback is that you just can't walk off in here. Because, you know, one of the main requirements is you have to own a full-size 9mm pistol or .45. You have to own an AR-15 or a functioning semi-automatic rifle, and you have to own a shotgun, right, with the stock on there, collapsible or fixed. And so, you know, when you present that to some folks, and they say, yeah, we finna take down, we finna do this. And I'm like, well, hold on a second now. I say, you need to get past the first baseline first. Do you own A, B, C, D, and can you get a background check to clear your background? Real quick.
There you go.
You know, we have to be careful. You got to be careful.
Yeah, you
got to
do things the right way. And you know, another thing, you got to tell your concealed carry holder that they need to get concealed carry insurance. It's not expensive. It may be $100, $120 a year. CCSA is an organization out there. NRA has insurance policy, too, for those who's a member of that organization. Now, I'm telling you, NRA has a good program for young, for kids. For teaching kids gun safety, like when you see a gun, stop, don't touch, go get an adult. And that is well supported. State legislatures have grant money, and practically every state have grant money for individuals that want to get the material, you know, the coloring books, the little rhythm and rhyme and stuff that you would use when you do a presentation to a first grade, second grader, third grader. My grandson, when he was in high school, he used to go around the grade schools, and he used to put on the presentation, and they provide the material through that grant. or it's not that expensive. But no, there's a lot of things out there that need to be done. I'm happy to hear what you're doing, and you know, I commend you for doing it. Just go ahead and do it.
Right. Now, you what part of St. Louis you out of?
Well, I'm in the Midwest. I'm between the South and St. Louis. I have summer homes in the South. If ducks can fly south in the wintertime, I can too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, most definitely. Okay.
But so, no, St. Louis don't got so bad. Like, it's a bunch of fools up there. And, you know, I have one last grandson in college. His mom is still up there. I'm getting ready to move her. And I don't even want him to go back there and for when he's on vacation. It's just too dangerous. And, you try to avoid those things, but you just got some idiots out there. I mean, we just got to face it. There are idiots that's out there that prey on you. You know, you got idiots that's black, you and I, that would get amongst you and would prey on you every chance they get. They break in your house, break in your car, rob you, carjack you, kill you, and all kind of stuff. And, you know, the only person that's going to really have to take care of that is the people that they are preying on. And we do have those neighborhoods, you know, just north and west of Ferguson. You have an area called Barrington Down, which is like a black area, exclusive. And they practically drew a line in the sand and say, y'all ain't coming over here with that burning and looting and robbing and stuff. Now, we understand the things behind it, but all this other shit just unnecessary. And actually, the people right. that were doing all this stuff didn't even live in that area.
Yeah, when we had all the protests, that's why people thought they were paid protesters who came out, or they thought they were, when they were, those people checking the scanner, it was folks from Illinois, you had folks from Kansas, you had folks that weren't, no address or domicile inside that area. Coming to kick up things. You know what? You get that with just about any type of major protesting or any type of major events that's going on. I'm out here in Jefferson City. When we had the tornado roll through here, the first thing that happened, what folks did was you had people who weren't even from this area getting arrested. They're out there going through people's property. Yeah. Those folks that weren't even through the guys they. Yeah, they weren't even from here. And, I think that's just natural with any disaster or any major episode among citizens. You're going to see folks who, they're naturally going to take it. And I shouldn't say naturally, but they're going to take advantage of a situation that shouldn't be taken advantage of, you know, hence Ferguson and so on. But as far as, to go back on that, we talked about the violence in St. Louis and, things like that, or violence in Memphis. We do know these situations and we do know they exist, but then, but in St. Louis, you guys have that divide, right? Like how the city's just divided off.
Well, it used to be, but it ain't no more because Blackstone moved over into South St. Louis. And don't get me wrong. Yes, there are whites that think that way. But I think in the overall that you have more people that's American citizens that don't think like that. And I think they deserve, everybody deserves respect. I mean, that don't mean you have to accept them. And I think that one of the things commonly, like me and you, we may have our disagreement, but I think that you are a strong Second Amendment supporter. I tell you, I am a strong Second Amendment supporter. And that's just the way it is. But
right.
Just keep up doing what you're doing. You talk about Jeff City. I came to Jeff City on the behalf of one of the state legislators, Jamila Nasheed, and testified on behalf of police wearing body cameras. And,
right.
Here's another thing. You talk about Ferguson. Blacks make up 70%, 67% of Ferguson, and they had a police department that was 53 officers and 52 of them was white. Well, see, that is that community's fault.
We talked about that. We had a whole situation where I came out there and it was in the midst of it. I came out there and I was just listening to some brothers talk. They were telling people they had a chance to flip that whole case around by voting out the chief,
the mayor.
They had a chance to vote and flip that whole case around, right? 60-some mm-hmm. percent. Actually, it was a supermajority at that time, right? It was up in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
It was around. It was pretty hot, but it was a supermajority, which is rare in Missouri anyway. You can only get that out in Kansas City. So it would have been a supermajority. That community, they had a chance to flip that whole case around and make a major change and get those folks out of there completely. But it ended up being like what they say was one of the lowest voting turnouts.
Right, Mike Brown's mother ran for alderman seat, and they didn't come out and vote for her either.
Yeah, that was just recently, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just past March.
And so that's another issue. You know, even with folks like you and I who support, obviously, gun rights, Second Amendment, and things like that, when it comes to putting folks up to task to say, hey, you know, this is something that we should support, or these are other laws that we should support. You know, I think there's just a general distrust of, you know, as you already know, the system in general, where folks just don't give a care. They don't care. Or, you know, folks have no interest anymore in caring, because it's like, okay, well, what has it done for me? And I always question that. I used to question that heavy myself until I seen the school board, how the school board, you know, I'm a counselor, man. So, when I at a hospital, but you know, also I do casework during the day as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see the school, when I used to hear all these black kids with IEPs and stuff like that, and I used to be like, damn, okay, well, you know, all my little white kids, you know, they're doing cool. They don't have as many IEPs as my black kids. What's going on? Like, you know, we start talking about how there's no fighting for them at the school board. So I organized the whole meeting. It was here in Jeff City. I have a group called Keeping Up with the Jeffersons. And I organized everybody. It's about 500 members strong of local folks. And about 90 people came out. I know, because we kept a list of all the emails. And we were talking about how we're going to mobilize and change things in the school board. So, mm-hmm. you know, one thing led to another. When it came time to actually vote, we had two black women running for school board positions. And at one point we had mm-hmm. one black person, which was a pastor, which everybody pushed against pastor because he's a pastor. And, you know, everybody's like anti-church and stuff right now. You know, and it was a huge pushback on just voting in general. And, you know, I talked to one of the mothers who said her daughter was like, unfairly targeted, right. Or purposely targeted by, you know, school administrators. I talked to her and I asked her, I said, hey, why didn't you vote? And she was like, oh, we had voting. And I'm like, God damn. I was like, you know, we had all flyers up. I've seen people get out there canvassing. There were meetings. I was tagging you to. I shared it with you. You even loved several of them. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I even conversed with you on one post, and the voting date comes up and no turnout. So now the school board is all lily white. And mm-hmm. so now we have the same parents who were against that and saying they were going to mobilize. And I'm talking school board. I'm not talking about governor. I'm not talking about police chief. I'm just talking about people's children at this point. And it was just amazing to see how people then, you know, mobilize and get up and do things. And I was like, God dang. I said, okay.
You know, the state statutes in Missouri give the local district, the people, the right to have their own curriculum, the right to have their whatever teacher instruction material that they need to have, and also books. That's in the state statute. Parents already have the right to set the direction in which their kids are being educated. I'm for school choice myself. But people have those rights and they don't even use them. And that's why I'm going to tell you something else. This whole thing trying to get everybody, all blacks, marching in the same direction, that ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. People been trying to do that forever, going back to Marcus Garvey. Thing is that you get a like-minded set group of people that you have an agenda, you can sit down at the table and you can discuss and try to implement plans for it and go with it.
Yep. And that's exactly the same format we're using for, like, developing the militia. We just can't have everybody in there, you know, and that's just what it is. And so it's the same thing, you know, with any other movement, you know. But the idea, I think, would be a general consensus that, hey, we all need to move forward. Can we all agree to disagree but focus on the agenda of moving forward? But I think the conflict with that, and I think you hit on it already, is everybody's for it, ain't everybody's for it. You know,
that's right.
You know, everybody's ideal of moving and movement isn't the same. I wish it is, you know, and I'm able to do it on an individual basis, right? I'll sit down and be like, hey, you know, like I got folks who I got a buddy of mine right now, very sharp brother too. Benza, he's very sharp, and he'll sit there. He told me, he said, "Man, why are you supporting the Second Amendment? You just gonna get more black folks killed." And I'm like, "Why ain't you supporting the Second Amendment? we need to be armed." And that's how I look at it, like flat out. Why don't you know how to shoot?
You know, blacks in America are United States citizens. They deserve all the rights and protections of being a United States citizen. That's what they are. You can't be anything else. Yes, I mean, that's what you are. That Constitution is, if you was born with all the rights in the world. What takes those rights is local, state, and federal laws. And that's what the Constitution is there to protect you from, to keep them from taking your rights. Now, when they make a law, it limits what you once can do from here on that you were doing in the past. And it affects you one way or the other. So that's something that you have to keep in mind. Now, I understand folks coming up with these, this, that, and the other. But when you lay it down on the table, young man, that's what it's all about. You have, and I've watched things that's going on, you have a underlying effort to destroy the fabric of the United States. If the fabric of the United States is destroyed, it's going to affect you, whether you're black or whoever. It's going to affect you terribly. So you got to protect that. You got to protect it. You're here. You got to try to make yourself better. We have to try to raise the educational level and attainment of our children, get them in more demanding positions. For instance, the National Society of Black Engineers, on their website, they have 10,000 jobs in the STEM fields that's going unfulfilled. And at the last three conventions, they had the last one just ended in March the 31st in Detroit at the Cabot Center. You had the two previous years, 2017 and 2018, in Pittsburgh and in Lawrence, Kansas. In Detroit, Lockheed Martin hired 400-plus young black STEM graduates, plus the other thousands that were being hired by other corporations from Harley-Davidson, the CIA, FBI, Department of Defense, Google, Amazon. The 2 years before that, Northrop Grumman out of Mississippi hired 400 plus 2 years in a row. STEM graduates, and them not no minimum wage jobs. So, you know, I hear what people say, and I understand what they say, but there's always two sides of a story. And you have to ask, what is these kids doing? What family are they coming from that prepare them whereas they can meet these demands and these requisites in order to qualify for what it is that they're qualifying from? That's the question that needs to be addressed, and the things that go along with addressing that question, we need to provide for more of our young people where they can compete. They have to be able to compete. If you're going to have black businesses, I'm talking about for real black business, the manufacturing, right, production, and so forth, you got to have skillful people. If not, you're not going to be able to compete on the world scene. So that's what's going on, and that's what we have. I think that ultimately that's what's got to be done. All these other things, if people want to do that, perfectly fine. Remember, it's only going to be 10% out of any ethnic group, whether it's Eskimos, whether it's Comanches or the NBA. It's only going to be 10% maybe, or a little more, that's going to be doing things out of the box. And, you know, those are the ones you got to concentrate. Now, am I saying throw everybody else away? No, you don't throw everybody else away. There should be something there to help them, you know, stand on their feet to get where they need to get. But the ones that's out there that's working hard, keeping their nose to the grindstone, doing their homework and all that stuff, you can't just turn your back on them. Because now what type of resentment do you have in a person like them that say, "I've done everything I'm supposed to do," and they walked away from, "Nobody helped me." No, we have to fight for them to get them into what they deserve for what the way put in. I mean, that's just the way it should be done.
Okay.
It should be 10 Jonas civilian armed gun manufacturers out there. And you know, you got 500,000 you in the military. You got 400,000 Black Americans in the U.S. military. I seen a brother on YouTube that was flying a F-22 Raptor. You got a sister who's a spy plane. She flies that plane that's either a little above the SR-72, XR-72, yeah, the SR-71 Blackbird. She flies the SR-72.
Uh-huh, out at Whiteman, right? Is it Whiteman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know where she flies.
70 miles, man.
When she leaves there, she going fast and I can keep up with.
Yeah.
Those are things. Look
we,
at the
we
Black
got them. We got
military.
I think a lot of folks are moving forward in different ways. But there's not like that uniter. I think that's the biggest thing that keeps, you know, when I talk about unity, when I talk about that, or when I think hopefully when other folks talk about it, I'm talking about there's a general ideal of like, hey, we need to succeed. There's a standard within the culture. You know, there's an ethic that's in place for folks and our thought processes on how we need to move forward in general. And everything you said, that's all of that actually attaches and builds on to, you know, everything that, you know, I think in general we're talking about. So it's like, you know, you can have all the scientists, you can have, we can get people going, or, you know, we can talk about like some of the folks who are, I'm not going to say exceptions to the rules, but I think the biggest question is, you know, when we do exist in the world we exist in, excuses or not, you know, how to get those resources to folks. And it does boil down to getting the hands dirty. And some folks, you know, usually are all talk and not getting down mm-hmm. and getting their hands, you know, and that's, I think that's been the issues that I've been coming across. Like I said, I come across folks who are the philosophers of what we're supposed to be doing. You know, they'll talk about it all day, social media, they'll get things rolling. And then you'll talk about the doers, the ones who will say, hey, yeah, I'm out here. This is what I'm doing. I'm out here fighting for little kids, trying to get them, trying to make sure this kid doesn't get through inside this certain course because he's not slow. He's just bored. You know,
You know, there's need to be, and I'm very strong on engineers. You know, if you go downtown St. Louis, you see a lot of buildings in my company that I own erected. Now, I've been in steel erection
right.
since I was 19 years old. Just how you have combines for football and tryouts for basketball, you should also take young people and take them through some rigors to see what they are innately talented at. I mean, back when I was coming up, they had what was called tracking. You was tracked into a high school that was a technical high school. You was tracked into a high school that was liberal arts. Then you had track three for those who didn't meet either one of those two. Now, I am sorry. That is just the way people come. You got some people. You know how many kids that had to participate and provide competition to make one LeBron James? The mothers had to take them to basketball camps, had to take them to practice, had to buy equipment, had to travel. Look at the thousands of young people that had to provide good competition for LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, or Kevin Bryant to become what they are. So the same thing should be done in order to see what young people have that can lead them into becoming scientists or whatever it is that you need. And then you have to provide them with the resources in order to hone those skills. Just like LeBron James had to hone his free throw capabilities. And you can take a group of children, like 5'10". I tell you something else. The Department of Labor has said 2 years ago that there's going to be a shortage of over 400,000 commercial pilots. And the Army and the military say they're going to be short 12,000 pilots, about 4,000 in combat roles.
Right.
Well, why come we don't have flight simulators? Now, there is an organization out there in Oakland, California called Oakland Youth First, which is ran by a guy by the name of Mr. Matthew. He's an airline captain. He got flight simulators in a room where he bring black kids in, and they sit at their flight simulator, and they learn how to fly. Boeing Aircraft would give you flight simulators. Lockheed would give you flight simulators. And you can set the same thing up in a community center or whatever. He does it also with marine, with boats. He take kids out on the ocean, and they were operating the boat and learning about the marine aspects of that industry.
It's the access to that resource, though. I think that's the difficult thing for, you know, for a lot of folks.
And a lot of times,
you know,
the resource is
coming
free.
From Tennessee, yeah, it could be free, but it's just the access to it. Like me coming from Tennessee, guns was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We have an incredibly tight-knit rifle program where, you know, kids shoot and they shoot against each other, you know, shooting targets. They're doing sporter class shooting and precision shooting. You can shoot both or you can shoot one. I just so happen to be a sporter class. And so
mm-hmm.
we competed all the time in that. And that was just what we did. And it wasn't abnormal. And it was pretty tight competition, you know, the same ideology that you said with how many kids, you know, it took for this, you know, for LeBron James, right? So, you know, we did that. We also had, I think what's going on is when we start talking about how we're going to move, you know, let's talk about the kids. So when we're talking about just getting kids and moving them into the right direction, I think the ideal of mobility with some parents is out the window. Because, you know, a person like myself, I'm going to sacrifice for my kids. This is what it is. And a little bit I got to get off because my boy's starting to wake up also, by the way, y'all.
And, you know, one other thing in your shooting, start preparing them for Olympic competition. That's a whole different
thing. That's a good thing right there. Yeah.
But look, I was happy to talk to you. I hope
we should exchange information since we'll be in proximity. And I would like to have a conversation with you also.
Well, you got
a pleasure
pencil?
Being on this. Hold on a second here. Mm-hmm. Give me something. I've been walking around outside here. Give me a second. All right. What's your number, sir? Yeah,
let me give you my email address. It's,
all right, let's do that.
It's LC Steel, Lima Charlie Steel, like the metal steel, STEEL, at Mindspring, like mind in your head, spring on a car, MindSpring.com. You know, we was in Kansas City years ago when they had some problems. Somebody got lynched or something like that. It just squirted out of. It was about at least 1999 somewhere. But anyway,
emailing you from Black Grits.
Okay. Yeah, email me and we can, you know, further contact from there, young man.
All right, most definitely.
All right, look, I'll let you get back to what you're doing. Keep up the good work and be careful.
All right, most definitely. You take care of it, and I'll holler at you.
All right, sounds great.
Hello?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a good conversation.
Oh. Right.
Yeah.
I know you got
to get moving. Sorry, I probably took up more time. I took up more time than what I needed to take off.
Y'all did exactly what needed to be done. You see what I'm saying? I didn't even want to flow into the conversation, you know, because it was going in the way that it goes. You know, like I said, you know, this is Marco's show, and, you know, you showed and proved that. You see what I'm saying? I know you got some other things you got to get into right now, so I thank you for your time, and we need to schedule a part two so we can get into these other stuff that you actually, you know, these other things that you actually do, because you're definitely not defined by these circumstances alone. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Yeah, we're going to definitely get into it. We got some things to work on.
Right.
But I'm gonna talk to you. I'm gonna hit you up on Facebook. I could do another review with you. We just sit down and chat or something on the
right.
phone.
But
yeah, it was a pleasure being on your show. Hey, keep it up. I'm already subscribed, so I can't wait. So most definitely.
The archives is deep. It's about 900. There's more than 900 shows, you know, to date. So you know, you could go back through, and it's like, oh, this is really lunatic radio. Like I was really over here, you know. Yeah, we. Radio. So, you know, you came to the right place.
Heck yeah. Well, I'm glad I found you, bro. I'm glad you found me, too.
All right.
All right, take care,
man, and I'll be in contact.
All right, most of you, too.
All right. All right, so everybody get up out of here. Shout out to our brother Marco Patterson for calling in and sharing his story. So if you like what you heard, subscribe to the show here, www.blogtalkradio.com/DoNotsRadio. That's DoTheKnowledgeRadio. Check us out at e-commerce site, hub site, www.DoNotsRadio.com. For the rest of the week, we got Warrior Wednesday. Tomorrow with National Minister of Defense, Black Riders Liberation Party, and the National Deputy Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under the auspices of National Chairwoman Crystal Muhammad, our Warrior Educator, Minister King Salman Shabazz, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Thursday, Black Prosperity Thursday, we will welcome them back to the platform, the dynamic duo, RBG Squad Boss and Hurricane Katrina Boss will be back in the building for part two of the conversation. It was diverted due to the website crashing here on Blog Talk. So that will be on Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Friday, we had a brother, Bomani from United Front. We do like United Front Vanguard review of some of these recently released songs, and also a new song from Bomani. Saturday, we got the brother B Dot, the guy in the building. He will be in the building 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be talking about his newly released EP entitled Coming Forth by Day. So that's what's going on. And Sunday, more likely be in Atlanta if everything works out in the way that it goes. So I'll be with the brother Black Dye, A. Rashid, brother Oba, and you know some of the other folks having to sit down on Sunday. So I think that's going to be something amazing to see. Again, we are still doing the fundraiser drive for the two students going to college in the fall. So, you know, all of the efforts for the donations received will go directly to those young men. And you can donate via paypal.me/DoNotsRadio or cash.me/$KnowledgeBornAllah. You can follow the show on Twitter at KnowledgeBorn15 on Twitter and on Instagram at KnowledgeBornAllah357. So again, we want to thank our brother Marco Patterson for coming in and sharing his story. And with that, we are out of here. Thank you for everybody for listening and everybody who will view these archives.